think it's recording. This is gonna. I know I'm gonna listen back to this and I'm gonna hate this. I don't know why I need a recorder, but anyway, most of you here know me. I'm Brent McGuire. I'm the son of Jason McGuire. There must have been a scheduling mix-up or error somewhere because somehow I got asked to do the talking for today. So we'll see how that goes. I am by no means a Jason McGuire or a Mark Lockwood. I can't say words too good, but I believe that the Spirit of God can work through anybody. So we're going to see how this goes today. I'm just going to pray into it, and we're just going to jump right into it. So, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the day that you've given us today. God, I just I thank you for the opportunity to just dive into your word and see what it is that you have to say about joy, Lord. Just as James just said, we live in a world that is oftentimes void of joy, God. It's a big part of our lives, and oftentimes we just don't use it the way that you've called us to. So I just I do pray, God, that you would take me out of the way. God, I'm a fool, and I can't use words too good, but you can speak through me. So, God, I pray that you would just use your Spirit and just say the words that you want to say, that somebody may be encouraged through this. So, again, Lord God, I just I thank you for this time. I pray that it would be profitable for your kingdom. So, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, as some of you may be able to guess by just being a rocket scientist or whatever, like Brady said, we're going through the fruit of the Spirit. And most of you know that, but that's where we're at. So we're going to be in Galatians 5, 16 through 24 is where I'm going to start. I apologize for the references today, but I am going to be jumping around a little bit. But we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And my dad, he covered love. And if you are a Bible scholar, you may know that after love comes joy. So we're going love to joy. So I've been given the opportunity to talk about joy. Brady didn't give me a lot of parameters. He said, talk about joy, and that's about all that he said. So God kind of showed me some really cool things this week. A little bit of a disclaimer before I get going. I'm far from perfect. I don't know anything about anything, but God's Word knows everything. So if I talk like I have some kind of authority, I'm just saying what God showed me this week. This is something that I struggle with a lot. This is something that God's been convicting me about a lot. Ironically, this week was just, it was a treat as I was putting this together. So, bear with me here. I am going to try and move fast. I've got a lot to get through, but, we're just going to dive right into it. So, my title for today, I like to have a title. It gives me a good track to go off of. My title for today is 3 Steps to Start Living Your Life with Joy. Joy is, it's a pretty big part of our lives, but oftentimes we overlook it. So, like I said, we're going out of Galatians 5, 16 through 24 is kind of our passage for the men's breakfast this year, and I'll just jump right in. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Bad. Don't do those things. But in verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Now, really, the more I spent time in this passage this week getting ready for this, I'm really glad that this is the passage we're using for the men's breakfast this year, because if this isn't an applicable passage of Scripture, then I don't know what is. It says right there in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." I don't know if there's a single man in this room who doesn't deal with that, and that battle of some way, shape, or form where, I mean, it's a war. It's a war of our parts. Paul talks about it a lot, but we can have victory in that, and that's what this passage says. I mean, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And that's a pretty powerful thing. It's a battle we all face, but it's a battle we can all have victory in. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about joy today. 3 steps to start living your life with joy. The first step is to define it. Makes sense. It's kind of hard to have joy if you don't know what it is. So define it. What is joy? The word joy occurs 155 times throughout the Bible, 95 times in the Old Testament, 60 in the New. I don't want to turn this into a word study, but I want to have a good base for us to kind of shoot off of, just to cover our bases, have a good foundation. So the majority of those 155 times the word joy is used, it comes mostly from two words. There are a few variations, like the word leap for joy has its own word, but the majority of the time when you see the word joy, it's one of these two words. It's the Greek word kara, found in the New Testament, or the Hebrew word sema, found in the Old Testament. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing those wrong. And I'm not going to lie, I was really hoping when I looked those up that it would just have some profound definition that I could tell you guys and be like, look at that, that's what the Bible says. But it's about what you would expect. These words actually define out pretty similarly. New Testament joy is defined as gladness, the joy received from one, the cause or occasion of joy. The Old Testament joy is birth, gladness, pleasure, joy from God, glad result, happy issue. So it's about what you would expect. It's gladness, but I like that it says it's received from someone. It's gladness from God, about what you would expect. But I think it's interesting how well those line up. So I looked those up out of the Strong's, and then I went ahead and I looked up to see what the Webster's 1828 had to say about joy. It's a really good source. It's not directly from the Bible, but it has a lot of biblical sources. So if you're looking up a word, I would encourage you to use that. So the Webster's 1828 defines joy as the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of a good. So you're expecting good. Pleasurable feelings caused by success, good fortune, or possessing what we love or desire. Joy is a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. I like that a lot. It is a glorious and a triumphant state. So the Webster says that you get joy from things that are good. It says you can get joy from the expectation of things, things that you know that you will receive. You can get joy from those things. I might get joy if I know for a fact that I'm going to receive a brand new set of golf clubs for my 20th birthday. That might bring me joy. I'm just throwing that out there. But it's interesting that it says from the assured approaching possession of a good. I think there's something to that, and that should bring you joy. So, kind of giving you the Bible's definition, the Webster's definition, I thought it would be interesting to see what the world's definition of joy was. So I did what you do in 2025, and I asked AI to see what it had to say about it. And I opened an AI, and I said, define joy. That's all I said. And it gave me a whole big, long spiel, and I had to have it summarized. But this is what it gave me. The world's definition of joy is a complex emotion characterized by feelings of happiness, pleasure, and contentment. Okay, I can track with that. Joy can be both a fleeting feeling, such as the happiness you feel when you receive good news, and a more enduring state, like satisfaction that comes from a fulfilling relationship or life purpose. Joy is primarily an emotional reaction that can manifest physically, like smiling or laughter, and mentally, such as feelings of elation or excitement. So some of that I can track with, and joy is a complex emotion characterized by feelings of happiness. Oh, all right. But then it says joy can be a fleeting feeling, and joy is primarily an emotional reaction. And as I studied out the word joy this week and looked at over 100 uses of the word joy, I didn't see that. When you get biblical joy, nowhere does it say that joy is a fleeting feeling. It's not an emotional reaction. That's not what joy is. I actually think it's interesting that in Job, Job chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment?" I think it's interesting that when the Bible defines worldly joy, it's the same way the world defines joy. It's but for a moment. You know, maybe you think of joy as you're cruising on through Harrisonville and the light turns green right before you get there, and that brings you a little bit of joy. And then a red Nissan Altima cuts you off and brakes checks you, and your joy's just gone. What just happened? You caught on to that. But, that's not what joy is. At least that's not God's joy. It's not something that just comes and goes based off your emotions. And we're kind of going to dive a little deeper into that. But joy is not a fleeting feeling. God's joy is it doesn't just come and go. My definition, so take this with a grain of salt, but as I studied this word out and looked at a lot of different uses of it, this is how I would define biblical joy. My definition is having biblical joy is to endure trials and hardships with an attitude of happiness and goodwill that brings glory to God. I think that joy is being able to go through some things that might suck a little bit and still have an attitude that brings glory to God. To be able to just put on your game face and be encouraging to others while you're dealing with something that's just not fun to deal with. That's what biblical joy is. I heard a wise man define joy, and I changed the wording a little bit, but a man I look up to a lot in the Lord, and he said, "We find true biblical joy when we do what God has called us to do, even if it means going through some form of earthly suffering. It doesn't always feel good, but joy is not a feeling, it's a state of being." And when I read that, I was like, I kind of feel like joy is a feeling. What do you mean? And as I took this week studying out this word and looking at the way the Bible uses the word joy, I think I 100% agree with that. I think joy, I hear a lot growing up, or I've heard a lot, that love is a choice. I think joy is kind of like love. I think joy is a choice. You have to choose to have godly joy. You have to choose, all right, what I'm going through right now sucks a lot. Am I going to have an attitude that brings glory to God while I'm going through this? I think joy is a choice. I really like that. I think that that's pretty impactful. I mean, doing what God's called you to do, even if it means going through something. An example of this is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We'll be back here in a little bit, but it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You want me to have joy when I'm going through something? That doesn't make sense. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Is it crazy to say that that thing that sucks that you're going through, God's using that to grow you? How am I supposed to have joy when I'm going through something that sucks? Well, you can have joy that God's developing you into the man that He wants you to be. I think there's something to that. So that's kind of defining joy, talk about the Bible's definition, kind of what I think about it. And so that's kind of a good base to go off of. So then I have a question before I get to my next point. Why do you need joy? I can just serve in ministry and be bitter about it. I can do all the things that you're doing. I don't have to have joy. Well, see what the Bible says about that. So do you need to have joy because life is better with joy? Well, maybe. Do you need to have joy because God can use your joy to reach the lost? Maybe. But that's not why I think you should have joy. I think you should have joy because the Bible says to have it. Amen. And it says that pretty clearly. Go back to Galatians 5:16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? You have the fruit of the Spirit. You have love and joy. You should have joy, not because it makes your life better or easier, and though it may, and God may bless you through it, you should have joy because God tells you to. Mm-hmm. And I think it's as simple as that. So that's my first point, my first way, or the first step to start living your life with joy. The second step is you got to obtain it. So we've defined it. Now you have to obtain that joy. I'm going to talk about five ways that you can obtain the joy of the Lord. The first way you obtain it is you obtain it by being ransomed. Isaiah 35 is where I'm going to be real quick. Isaiah 35, verses 4 and verse 10. I had to put sticky notes in my Bible because I'm all over the place today. So the first way to obtain joy is you obtain it by being ransomed. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So those of you who are afraid, know that God's coming to save you. And then verse 10 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You want to know how you can have the joy of the Lord? Be ransomed. Obviously, this is talking about Israel, Old Testament, but are we not ransomed by the blood of Christ? No. Now, I don't think it's right to just assume that everybody in this room is saved, but for those of you who are, I think you know that that's something that ought to bring you some joy. You've been ransomed. That's a pretty basic thing, but I think that's where it starts. That's the start of biblical joy in your life, is being ransomed by the Lord. I had another reference for that, but for time's sake, we're going to move on. So you obtain it by being ransomed. And then the next way to obtain the joy of the Lord is you obtain it by trusting in God. I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 is where we're going to be for this. I had extra verses for these, but I'm trying to just use one for each point for time's sake. Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You want to have the joy of the Lord, you've got to trust in Him. We live in a world where it feels like there's not a lot that you can trust. It's hard to put your trust in man. It's hard to trust the things of this world. We live in a wicked world, but you want to know something that you can put your trust in that will never fail you? It'll do you right every single time. Put your trust in the Lord. And it says right there, verse 11, let all those put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout their joy, because thou defendest them. If you put your trust in God, He will not fail you. He will defend you. You want to have joy, you got to trust God. I mean, are you trusting God with the circumstances of your life? So then my third way to obtain it is you obtain joy by doing the work of God. Guys, these are pretty basic points, but I think there's something to it. It's basic stuff, but basic is good. I'm a simple guy, and sometimes being simple helps me. So you obtain joy by doing the work of God. Psalms chapter 126, verses 5 and 6 say, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm supposed to have joy by sweating in tears? What? That doesn't make sense. But that's what it says. Have you ever woke up at 6 a.m. for the 18th Sunday in a row so you can go watch kids or prepare messages for somebody else when you just want somebody to prepare a message for you? Like, maybe you don't have a lot of excitement or joy about that, but it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. If you're willing to do the work of the Lord when it's hard to do, when it's not convenient for you, when it might suck a lot, that's when God's going to fill you with joy because you're being obedient. Are you doing it with a good heart? God's going to reward you for that. So you obtain it by being ransomed. You obtain it by trusting in God. You obtain it by doing the work of God. And then the fourth way that you obtain joy of the Lord is you obtain it by abiding with God. I think this is my favorite point out of the whole thing I'm putting together here. But John chapter 15, verse 4 is where I'm going to start. Verses 4 through 11. I'm really glad I put these sticky notes in here. That was nice. John chapter 15, starting in verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so shall I love you, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And in the verse that I wanted to get to, saying, abide, 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 abide in me, abide with me, do my things. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You want to know how to be filled with the joy of the Lord? You want to walk in joy? You have to abide with God. And you might be like, well, I can't go to heaven and just talk to God. How am I supposed to do that? Well, how do you abide with God? Spend some time in your word and spend some time in prayer. You want to abide with God, man, that's where it starts. You might be like, well, I don't feel like my joy has any, I don't feel like my life has any joy right now. All I do is work and I minister and I can't keep up. I'm just trying to keep my head over the water. I read my Bible one time this week and I prayed before I ate, but I just don't feel joy in my life. Well, no wonder. You spend 20 minutes building your relationship with someone, you're not abiding with them. If you want joy, if you want God's joy in your life, it says that your joy might be full. If you want your joy to be full, you have to abide with God. Spend some time in your word and spend some time in prayer. This is something that just God keeps bringing up in my life. That's where it starts. Like, church is great. Days like these are great. It's encouraging to be with men. I mean, ministry is great. Sunday morning's great. Hearing sermons. If you want to develop your relationship with the Lord, you got to spend time in the word, man. Like, if that's not a priority, then what are you doing? And that's something that God can, again, guys, I'm not here to call you out and tell you you're living your life wrong. These are things God convicts me about. These are things that I know I need to do better about. If you want to have your joy full, you have to abide with the Lord. And then another verse for this, I almost took it out, but I like it so much, I'm just going to go there real quick. Psalm 16:11, if I can get there. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11 says, thou wilt shew me the path of life, and thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You want your joy to be full? You have to abide with God. You have to be in the presence of God. If you don't get anything else today, man, just know that you want to have joy in your life, you got to be in the presence of God. That's how you get it. And then the last way that we obtain the joy of the Lord is we obtain it by being good. Now, that's pretty open-ended, but I have a definition for you, so we'll get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. This is a passage. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Ecclesiastes 2, 22 through 26 says, for what hath a man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored unto his son? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. I don't know if anybody in this room can relate to that. All I do is work. I'm working 80 hours a week, and I know I'm just a kid. My life's easy. I'm getting there. I'll be in the workforce soon, I promise. But I've been on this roof for 12 hours today, and it was 98 degrees, and I don't have any joy in me right now. Well, let's see what God says about that. Verse 24, it says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the Lord. I think that's really cool, because sometimes we go through some things. Sometimes we have some trials. Sometimes we have some suffering. God uses those things to grow us into the men that He wants us to be. But at the end of the day, God doesn't want our life to just be suffering. God wants us to enjoy our life. We're not here on earth just to suffer. Now, He wants Him to be the priority of our life, but He wants you to enjoy your life. It says right there, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul to enjoy good in his labor. Man, you feel like you're just doing nothing but work, and you can't keep your head above the water. Man, just be thankful that God's given you a way to provide. I mean, have joy in those things. I mean, have joy in the fact that you can provide for your family. Have joy in the fact that you can put a roof over their heads. I mean, it says that a man should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Maybe the labor is not super fun to do, but God providing you a way for you to provide for others, you should have joy in that. And then verse 25 says, "For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I?" Now, I don't know if I didn't study this verse out enough, but at surface level, that's something I can relate to. Who can eat or who can hasten thereunto? Me? Yeah, that's me. And then 26 says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." So it says, God giveth to a man that is good wisdom and knowledge and joy. So what does it mean, good? So I looked it up. The Strong's defines that word good to mean pleasant, agreeable, glad, happy, or kind. Now, it's interesting that it uses the word pleasant, just like it defined the word joy. But whenever you're on the roof for the 11th hour of the day and you're throwing shingles or whatever it is that you guys do, I mean, we're all men here. We all work. Or I don't work. My life's easy. You guys work. While you're doing those things, are you being pleasant and agreeable? Are you being glad and happy? While you're doing something that's not very fun to do, are you doing it in such a way that brings glory to God? That's what it defines as a good man. If you can do those things, if you can do the hard things that suck, and you can do them good, if you can do them with an attitude that brings glory to God, it says, to that man, in his sight, he will give wisdom and knowledge and joy. If you can do the hard things with an attitude that brings glory to God, he will give you joy. He will give you his joy. And I think there's something to that. So, we talked through those couple things, ways to obtain joy. Be ransomed, trust in God, do the work of God, abide with God, and then be good. I think those lists, kind of cool how that list builds on itself. But that's how you obtain joy. So we've talked about how to define it. We've talked about how to obtain it. So I guess just put that in your back pocket and walk away. Or we can talk about how to apply it. So the third step to start living your life with joy is you have to apply that thing. Like I said, we'd be back there. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And we're getting close to done. I'm actually doing all right on time. Let's go. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." How am I supposed to have joy when everything is against me, man? Everything sucks. There's no good. There's no good coming from anything that I'm doing. How am I supposed to have joy right now? Know this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Is it crazy to believe that that thing that you're going through, that just seems like it's just taking over your life, is being used by God to form Him into the man He wants you to be? Are you having joy in those things? Do you want to apply joy? That's how you apply joy. I mean, do you believe that God is using the things that you're going through to develop you into the man He wants you to be? Because that's what joy looks like. Joy looks like you apply it by being tempted, having joy when you are tempted. You're going through something, but you're still having an attitude that brings glory to God. That's godly joy. And the second way that you apply joy to your life is you have joy when you're faced with suffering. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 is where we're going to be for this. Luke chapter 6. All right. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. It says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." I think there's something to that. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in a like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. To apply it, you gotta have joy when you're going through suffering. I mean, it says right there, blessed are ye that hunger, blessed are ye that weep. The big one for me, we talked about this in my reading group this week, it says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you, and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Man, when's the last time you got thrown out by somebody you cared about because you were just preaching Jesus to them? If that hasn't happened to you, what are you doing? That's something that convicts me a lot. There's some groups that I probably haven't needed to be a part of in my life, and they accept me just fine because I act just like them. Man, as people, we desire to fit in and do all the things with all the people, but the Bible tells us we're to be set apart. And sometimes that takes a little bit of suffering. So are you going to have joy in those things? Are you going to have joy when you're going through trials? You just can't feel like you can't keep up. All you're doing is working. All you're doing is laboring. You can't keep your head above the water. Are you having joy? Do you have an attitude that brings honor and glory to God? I mean, really, that's a question for myself. But there's something to that. And then my last verse here, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. People are watching you. People see the things that you're doing. I mean, we're men in this room. You guys know that by now. Even you young men, you might not see it. Somebody's watching you. Somebody wants to be like you. Somebody wants to do the things that you're doing. I promise. What are you doing about that? Are you leading them in the Word? It says, are you laying aside every weight? Are you putting aside the sins that easily beset you and running your race with patience? There's people watching. And then verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. That's a good idea. Let's see the guy who did it right. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's what we were talking about earlier. Like, knowing the assurance that you're going to receive something. Jesus knew. He had to go through worse suffering than anything we could ever imagine. But he knew that the joy that would come out of it was worth it. So he endured the cross. I mean, the Bible tells us that we need to bear our cross daily. Are you bearing your cross with joy, knowing that the rewards just far outweigh whatever the suffering is that you have to go through? Again, guys, that's just something that convicts me. Romans 8, chapter 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is that not a powerful verse? I mean, whatever it is that you're going through, think about in eternity. You're going to be looking back and just thinking about how insignificant that thing was that just made you feel like you were drowning. You felt like your life was just falling apart and there was nothing you could do. But think about the rewards that you're receiving from that thing. I mean, if you're able to go through that with joy, if you're able to walk in a manner that brings glory to God through a situation that just gives you no reason to give glory to God, I mean, think about the rewards you're earning. I mean, just tenfold. The sufferings you go through now don't even compare to the blessing that God's going to give you. So, are you going to choose to have joy when the world gives you every reason to be bitter? Are you going to choose to have the joy of the Lord? So, that's kind of what I put together for joy, but I wanted to leave you guys with something just to kind of ponder on. Because we're men, I like to have something applicable, something to take and run with. So I have a challenge for you, and really this is a challenge for me. If you guys want to take something from it, you can. So my challenge. First, evaluate what joy looks like in your life right now. Is it worldly joy? Does it come and go as it's convenient based on your emotions or your feelings? Like the joy of the hypocrite? Is that your joy, or is it the joy of the Lord? Are you choosing to have the joy of the Lord whenever you're going through things that just don't make sense? Are you choosing to have that attitude that brings glory to God? So what does your joy look like in your life right now? And then once you've thought about that, I mean, again, are you choosing to have joy when the world gives you every reason to be bitter? I mean, really, consider that. Are you? I think it was funny this week as I was putting this together. It was not a joy-filled week. I'll put it that way. And it's ironic as I'm putting this together because it's convicting. Because there were some times this week that I didn't choose to have joy. And it's a choice, guys. And at the end of the day, you're going to answer for the things you choose to do. So you've evaluated the joy in your life and what that looks like right now. So then I want you to evaluate what you could be doing to obtain joy. I mean, I'll go through that list one more time. If I can find it. Are you being ransomed, or have you been ransomed? Are you trusting in God? Are you doing the work of God? Are you abiding with God? Are you being good? Are you being pleasant, agreeable, glad, and happy when it doesn't make any sense to? So do those things to obtain the joy that God's given you, or that God wants you to have. And once you've obtained it, purpose. For the next month, I want you to purpose to apply the joy that you gain from doing those things and see how God blesses it. Like I said, guys, I'm a mile and a half from perfect. I mess up every day, but whenever I do these things right, whenever I do choose to have the joy of the Lord, I see the blessings in my life. I'm not just standing up here saying all these things because I need to say the right words to you guys. I've seen this in my life. Like, this is real stuff. So, see what happens. Obtain that joy by doing those things that the Word says, and then purpose to apply it to your life. For the next month, we get together again in a month to hear the next part of the fruit of the Spirit. And see how God blesses you when you apply the joy of the Lord to your life. So, that's kind of what I put together this week. Sorry for kind of rambling, but thanks for listening in. Brady, if you want to pray us out, then yeah. Do I hit stop?
Yeah, it's either stop or record one or two.